give the young ladies peace of mind as they sing to Thee. And Lord, we just love You and give You all the praise and glory and honor. We thank You, Lord, for a day when we focus on Your resurrection. It's not about Easter bunnies and Easter eggs, but it's about the resurrection of the Savior after spending 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth paying the penalty for our sins. And we just pray that we would stay focused on that. In Jesus' name and for His sake, amen. Ladies, come on ahead.
Alas, ended my Savior weep, ended my Sovereign die. Would He give up that sacred head for such a worm as I? At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Was it the crimes that I have done? He groaned upon the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Well might the sun in darkness hide and shut His glories in, when Christ the mighty Maker died for man the creature's sin. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. But drops of grief can never pay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away, 'tis all that I can do. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all day.
Amen. Yes.
Be willing to come up here and serve the Lord, because that's what it's all about. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Psalms, Psalm 12. Psalm 12. Today we celebrate Resurrection Sunday. A lot of people call it Easter. Easter's in the Bible one time. But as we know, that's in Acts chapter 12. And that is a time when Herod is waiting to kill one of the apostles. And he's waiting to celebrate his Easter, which comes from Ishtar and all that. And I went over that not long ago. We look at it as Resurrection Sunday. It's when the Lord had been crucified. Some say Good Friday, but can't get 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth from Friday to Sunday. And they get confused because it talks about the day before the Sabbath day. Well, it was the days of unleavened bread. So the Sabbath day was really one of the holy days. Likely He was crucified on a Wednesday and resurrected on Sunday. So as we look at Psalm 12, let's read a couple of verses. It says, to the chief musician upon Sheminith, a psalm of David. And let me just go over that first. Sheminith is contrasted with Alamoth in 1 Chronicles and seems to mean low notes for male singers. So again, there's a reason all this is in there. Your psalms are written to be sung. And that's what they were doing. Psalm 6 is the only other psalm using this term, which also contains a very sober message. Psalm 46 is the only psalm using the term Alamoth, which is a psalm of rejoicing. We're going to be looking at some rejoicing today. The psalm itself, Psalm 12, is pretty dark at the beginning, but we're going to be looking at the resurrection. We're going to be looking at the future. And the amazing thing about the Bible is you can know the future. I'm not a prophet. I don't prophesy other than I preach. And sometimes those are a little bit interchangeable. I don't foretell the future, but yet I do. I foretell the future in that the Bible foretells the future, but nothing outside the Bible. It's not anything extra biblical. You can't have extra biblical revelation, extra biblical prophecy. It's all in the scripture. And let me just sort of spoil the end of the story. We win. You know, I mean, he's coming back. He's going to destroy all of his enemies. He's going to, you know, the next great event on the calendar. By the way, it's not Israel. It's the church. This is known as the church age. The next great event deals with the church, where there's neither Jew nor Gentile, male or female. We're all one in the body of Christ. That's what we need to be focused on, is the next event associated with the church. What is that? That's the rapture of the church. It's when we're gone, God's focus turns back to Israel. And then you have 7 years. They call it Daniel's 70th week because there were 69 weeks of years in the past. There'll be one more week of years in the future, which Israel, then the second coming, 1,000-year millennial reign. Then he comes back and he loosens Satan for a season, and they come out and God destroys all of his enemies just like that. He isn't going to play around. Listen, there is no more Lamb of God coming back. He's coming as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. You read Revelation 19 and then you read on from there, Revelation 20 and 21. And we'll get into that maybe this morning as we go through. But let's look at the opening words of Psalm 12. The title of my message is Help Me, Help Us, Lord. This is the psalm that starts out with the words, Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. Then it says, they speak, and it goes on from there. So it talks about those children of men. But he starts off the psalm with help. Help, Lord. I want to look at a couple of psalms. Turn to Psalm 79. There are only three verses in the entire Bible that begin with the word help. All three are found in the book of Psalms. It is important to us to have God to help us. Psalm 79:9. Help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of thy name, and deliver us and purge away our sins for thy name's sake. So it says, help us. So he says, help, Lord. Then in Psalm 79, it says, help us. Look at Psalm 109 and look at verse 26. Psalm 109, verse 26 says, help me, O Lord my God, O save me according to thy mercy. So he says, help, Lord, in Psalm 12. And he says, help us in Psalm 79. He says, help me in Psalm 109. By the way, the personalization of your prayer is very important. You can pray for others and you should pray for others, but you should pray for yourself, and your prayer should be just like that. Help me, O Lord. Help me. Because we need help. We need God to intervene in our daily lives. I cannot get through one day without God helping me. Help me. Help, Lord. Help us. It's the only chapter of Psalm that begins with the word help. The plea for God's help. Look at Psalm 33. So he's requesting help. The clear cry, or the cry is real clear. It's help. The focus of that plea, Lord, he is our help. Psalm 33:20. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee. I was going to look it up, and I'm not sure of the wording, but do you remember when Peter stepped out of the boat? I was going to say he jumped out of the boat. I don't think he did. I think he might have, you know, timidly put that foot in the water and went, feels pretty solid to me. You know, and then he got out. And then he started to sink when he took his eyes off the Lord. Just like us, we'll start to sink if we take our eyes off the Lord. And I think he cried out for help. I didn't have time to look it up. I was out planting plants this morning, you know, Easter, Resurrection Sunday. I had to, you know, plant some plants. Not really. I was just putting some pots in the ground. Look at Psalm 44. Psalm 44. So he says, he is our help. And then he says it again in Psalm 44, verse 26. Here's what your prayer ought to be. Arise, Psalm 44, 26. Arise for our help and redeem us for thy mercy's sake. You know what you ought to pray to God about? Pray to God and say, Lord, I know you're a merciful God. Be merciful to me. Be merciful to me. God is gracious to you. God is long-suffering. Pray for God to be merciful. You know what gets you through a day? It's the mercy of God. You know what gets you through trials and tribulations? The mercy of God. You know what gets you through the mountain peak of life? That means the good stuff. It's the mercy of God. Because if you start to get on that mountaintop and you're walking on the mountaintop and all of a sudden you start sliding down the other side, you better have prayed for the mercy so that when you're sliding down the other side, you don't hit the bottom without God. You need God to help you every day. Help me. Help us, O Lord. Look at Psalm 124. Psalm 124. Do you know there's one name given among men whereby ye must be saved? It's Jesus. One name. I don't go by Yeshua or all the Hebrew amalgamations. That bothers me because that doesn't bother anybody but me. In other words, if I was at a meeting and I said, well, let's pray. And I finished the prayer and I said, oh, I pray this in the name of Yeshua. You know, and they go through this long phrase. That doesn't hit people. But I'll tell you what, sometimes when you pray, you say, and I pray in the name of thy son, Jesus Christ. That bothers people. In fact, there are institutions and organizations that say you could basically pray in the name of Allah, but don't you pray in that name, Jesus. That name, Jesus, bothers them. You know why? Because there's conviction with that name. There's salvation with that name. And there's only one name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And it's that name. That name is hated by the devil. Hated by him. Look at Psalm 124 verse 8 says, our help is what? In the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Our help is in the name of the Lord. What's the name of the Lord? It's Jesus. That's what the name of the Lord is. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Psalm 121, look over there and see what it says. Psalm 121, starting in verse 1. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Your help comes from one place. Now listen, you can call me up, get calls every day almost. Help me, Pastor. That's okay. That's good. But that's not sufficient. You can call up other church members. Help me. Pray for me. Help me do something. You know, whatever it is, that's okay. But you better be praying to God and saying, God, I know who the source of the help is. He's the one that's going to help you. He's the one that has the power to intervene and affect your life and to put you on the right track and to keep you on the right track and keep you on the right path and keep you in the right race. He's the only one that can do that. I can't do that. Nobody else in here can do that for you. So when you're talking to somebody, be sure you don't leave God out. Sometimes we leave God out. We want to spend all our time sometimes talking to other people. But you and I need to realize that our help cometh from above. Our help cometh from the Creator of the heaven and the earth. That's who it comes from. Now, it's It's Resurrection Sunday. So let's go ahead and turn to Revelation 22. I told you I was going to ruin the story for you by giving you the ending. But if you've been reading the book, you already know, and you've already been there, and you've already seen the ending, and you know the ending by heart. And that is that we win. We win. Listen, all this stuff going down here, it doesn't matter how bad it gets, we win. It doesn't matter what the devil throws at you, we win. It doesn't matter what man throws at you, we win. We win. So no matter what you hear from my mouth ever, always remember this, we win. Don't put your head in the sand. Don't be an ostrich and don't go, well, I don't want to know anything bad that's going on. And I don't, no. Be focused, but don't be fooled. Don't think, well, everything's going to be all right. Yeah, but maybe not while you're on the earth. Things could get pretty bad. What do? You be prepared, but you can't wait until you start sliding down the hill and look for a rope that you never threw over the edge to catch on your way down. Your rope is Jesus Christ. Throw that rope over the side so that you're ready when it's coming down. When you're going down the hill, make sure you're ready to look out there. But don't wait until then. You and I need to be praying at the mountaintop. If your life is everything's hunky-dory and everything's going right, you make sure you're focused on Him. Focused on Him. We're going to focus on Him today, on His resurrection, the rest of the message. Revelation 22:1. And He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street, notice that singular, of it, and on either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations. Here's what I wanted to get to. And there shall be no more curse. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. His servants shall serve Him. And they shall see His face, and His name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Now there's so much in there, I could stop right there, preach a whole message or two or three or four or five just on that one passage right there. I'm not going to do it because I got a lot more to go. I just wanted to give you this. First of all, there's no more curse. Secondly, the throne of God and the Lamb are in that city. His servants are going to serve Him. They shall see His face. Now, when you think about it, you're going to see the face of God, but you're going to be in a glorified body, so you don't have to worry about dying. If you saw the face of God now, you'd drop dead. That's why nobody ever has seen the face of God. You saw it in the person of Jesus, but it wasn't in all His glory. But there was something different about that face. It wasn't just the face of a man. They shall see His face. His name shall be in their foreheads. You know why the devil has a mark of the beast? In and on the forehead, the hand? Because everything God does, the devil imitates. He's an imitator. And what we've got to realize is that imitation is real to a lot of people. That imitation looks like the real thing. Now, I dare say some of you and us, if we got a fake dollar bill, or it wouldn't probably be a dollar, a $20 bill, we might not be able to tell the difference. Because that imitation's that good. What the devil does, he's going to sit in the temple of God showing himself that he is God. And the Bible says all the world's going to wonder after the beast. How's he going to pull that off? Ignorance. You know why we study the Bible here? Because you don't need to be ignorant. Now, you're not going to be here at that time if you're saved. But the thing is, there's a lot of deception going on today, too. That deception is real. We've got to realize that deception can destroy your walk with Christ. Some of you can get into something and you turn around and you go, how in the world did I get in such a mess? I have watched people that know their Bible and they get into a cult or they get into a false doctrine. I remember 30 years ago, a guy came to me and he says, well, I believe that the resurrection is going to happen after the 1,000 years. And I said, how do you get that? He says, because it says the first resurrection. After the 1,000 years, they have part in the first resurrection. See, there's the first and there's the second. The second is second death. The first happens right there. Therefore, it's the first. I'm like, well, Jesus was resurrected. What's that? The graves were open in Jesus' day and he closed paradise and resurrected those bodies. What was that? That was the first resurrection. There's one word in your Bible, it says, blessed is he that hath part in the first resurrection. In other words, there's several parts to the first resurrection. There was part in Jesus' day. There'll be part at the rapture, and then there'll be part in the end times, and each one is the first resurrection, but each one's a part of that first resurrection. But just that one word, if you miss it, can change your whole doctrine. And there are organizations and institutions that are built on focusing in on certain things like that and saying, we're the only ones that are right. Because we believe the resurrection is after the 1,000 years. And because all those other people are teaching it this way, they're wrong, we're right, join with us. Now I tell you all the time, I haven't told you for a while, but I'll tell you this, I preach error. I do. I don't know any error that I preach. And then when I find out that I've preached something wrong, I try to fix it. But to think that I'm going to say, well, everything that I preach and everything that I teach is right. I can't say that. I can believe that it is. At the time that I'm preaching it, I always believe that it is. How could it be any other way? However, as I continue to grow and as I continue to mature, which all of us better be doing, I learn that I don't have it all figured out. I've been wrong in the past. I'll be wrong in the future, and I'm sure I'm 100% right in the present. That was a joke. Thank you for listening. Look at Luke chapter 20. Luke chapter 20. We're looking at the resurrection. So I just showed you the end. That's where we're heading. No more curse, no more death, no more tears, no more sorrow, no more sin. Now we're going to get there in Luke 20. Look at verse 34. And Jesus answering said unto them, the children of this world marry and are given in marriage. But they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage, neither can they die anymore. Boy, isn't that something? We just, you know, had a death and, you know, Mac passed on and, you know, hey, we're going to celebrate a memorial service of his life. He's not going to be there. He's gone. He's up there. He's in heaven. I'll tell you, I remember Mac would sit over here and Betty and I would talk to him and he'd just say, hey, don't you ever go anywhere. That's what he'd tell me almost every time. And of course, he'd tell me how much he loved me and how great a preacher I was and you know, all that stuff I've missed. I really miss Mac. You don't have any idea how much I miss Mac. But he's over there. I just remember, and I'd look over there and I'd see him smiling. And then when I would get back there, whenever we could tell everybody goodbye, you know, you could sort of shake hands and, you know, COVID sort of changed a lot of things. But we're coming back. We're looking at, listen, enough of us have had the shot. I hadn't had the shot, but I had COVID. Enough of us had COVID or the shot. I think we're okay. We're just going to start making some transitions and assuming that we have been wise. I told somebody the other day, I said, one of the things that we did, we took precautions. I don't believe anybody that got COVID in the church gave it to anybody else within the church. That is what's important. It's not the government that needs to tell us how we need to run the church because they don't tell Walmart how to run Walmart. And yet Walmart's open the whole time. They closed the little businesses and kept the big box stores like Walmart and Lowe's open. That's terrible. The destruction of the small middle class businessman. I wonder if that was designed that way. Luke 20 again, look at verse 36. Neither can they die anymore. Praise God. Glory. Hallelujah. They are equal unto the angels in that respect. And the children of God being the children of the resurrection. Isn't that a neat little term? I don't think I really ever saw that. The children of the resurrection. You're a child of the resurrection at some point. Now that the dead are raised, even Moses, watch this, showed at the bush. Moses showed the resurrection. By the way, remember you got the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Who do not believe in the resurrection? The Pharisees or the Sadducees? They do not believe in it. Which one? You remember how you know that? Because they're sad, you see. See, that's, I learned that in Bible college. That's, we got deep. I mean, we got some deep stuff in Bible college. You got the Pharisees, then you got the Sadducees, and the Sadducees don't believe in the resurrection because they're sad, you see. I mean, if you don't believe in the resurrection, I'd be pretty sad. If you don't believe in the resurrection, what is the afterlife? We all just poof? No. Just like Jesus was resurrected, all of us are going to be resurrected. If you're saved on the resurrection of life and you're a child of the resurrection, if you're not, you'll be resurrected and you'll stand in judgment. The great white throne judgment, the second death, called the second resurrection. So Moses showed it at the bush when he calleth the Lord, the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob, for he is not the God of the dead, but of the living, for all live unto him. He's the God of the living. He's not the God of the dead. That's why we don't put him back on the cross. He came off that cross and he's never to be put on there again. I know Melody was looking for pictures. She said, man, I'm trying to find a picture of the cross. And they got Jesus on there on most of them. I don't want Jesus on the cross anymore. He's not on the cross. He came off the cross and he was resurrected 3 days later after they put his body in the tomb. His soul was resurrected from hell itself and from paradise and the heart of the earth was resurrected to reunite with his body. And then he went from there and he ascended unto the Father. He came back and he ascended a second time. All of that's important. All of that is important to understand because if you don't understand those truths, you'll get confused. How do you know there were two ascensions? Well, the first time he sees the women, he says, don't touch me, I'm not ascended to the Father. Then he sees them the second time, Thomas is with him, and he says, here, you want to put your hand in the side? You want to feel the wounds? Go ahead. Why? Because he descended unto the Father and he took the blood and he placed it on the mercy seat in heaven. That's all in the Bible. That's what he did. And it's important to understand those concepts as you grow in Christ. The problem is most churches aren't teaching the Bible anymore. You got people going to church and it's just it's a rock concert. And I'm supposed to go, oh, well, that's okay. Whatever they want. No. Do you know why people are struggling in Christianity? Because they don't know their Bible. The more you know your Bible, the more opportunity you have to draw nigh unto God, and He'll draw nigh unto you. I want everybody in here drawing nigh unto God. How do you do that? You learn your Bible. You learn Jesus. You find out what He looks like. I mean in the sense of being holy. And then you try to be holy. You're going to fail. How do I know? I fail. I fail. I think things I shouldn't think. I want to hurt people when I shouldn't want to hurt them. That is all a joke. I don't want to hurt anybody. Thank you for the... I'm just glad, almost 2 years, you guys are getting to know me a little bit. I don't want to hurt anybody. I really don't. People that want to be my enemy, they're not my enemy. It's been good being here, by the way. Man, when you're out there traveling, I mean, you can, and you write a lot of stuff. I don't even know how many pages. One of these days, I'm going to count up all the pages I've written. Just curiosity. But I mean, you're going to say things that people don't like. I believe it's right. I stand behind it, except for those early writings. Look at Philippians 3. Philippians 3. I love this Bible. I love learning the Bible. I love studying the Bible. I love learning about God. Philippians 3, let's look at what it says. And this verse right here ought to just jolt you. Even if you've heard it before, let's read it again. Philippians 3:20. For our conversation is in heaven. That's our lifestyle. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So what are you supposed to be doing? You're supposed to be looking for Jesus. Not looking for the mark of the beast. Not looking for the Antichrist. Not looking for the two witnesses of the 144,000 or the abomination of desolation. None of that stuff. You're to be looking for one thing, and you're to be looking for Jesus. Here's what happens. You look for Jesus. You wake up in the morning, you're looking for Jesus. It's going to change your day. You go to bed at night, you get up in the morning, next day, you're looking for Jesus. It'll change your day. The problem is, if you're not looking for Jesus, you might slip through a day. Go, well, it's no big deal. Jesus didn't come back today. But if you thought He was coming back today and you're really looking for Jesus, it'd change your day. That is why you need to be looking for Jesus. Every single day. Because there's nothing stopping Him from coming back. What's He going to do when He comes back? Verse 21. Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. He's going to change our vile body so it can be fashioned like unto His glorious body. I can't wait for the change. Man, I'm ready. I am ready to shed off this sinful body. I am ready to have a glorified body that doesn't hurt, doesn't sin, you don't think a bad thought. That's all going to happen. It's all promised. That's what the resurrection is about. Look at 1 Thessalonians 4. Here is the rapture of the church. Some of the most famous verses in the Bible on it. And people say, well, I don't believe in the rapture. You better believe in the rapture. You may not believe in the same timing that I believe in, but you better believe in the rapture. The rapture is a doctrine in the Bible that is going to take place, and it's the next event on God's timeline. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, though they've died. That ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe, here's the gospel, that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. So here's what's going on. Their body's in the grave. Their soul and spirit are up in heaven. When Jesus comes back, those that are sleeping, those that have died are coming back with Him. But their body's in the grave. Or turned to dust and ashes, whichever. Could have been, you know, burned up in the Twin Towers. Nothing's too hard for God. Verse 15, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive, now we're looking at people that are alive when He comes back, and remain unto the coming of the Lord, shall not prevent or hinder, shall not prevent them which are asleep. We're not going to hinder those that are asleep from coming first. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise, what? First. So what happens? The dead in Christ that are in those graves, that are that dust on the ground, or the dust in the sea, or the, you know, the skeleton, or no skeleton, whatever it is, there's something left of them here on earth. They're going to rise first. And we're not going to prevent them. We're not going to hinder that. We're not going to be able to stop that. Don't want to stop it. They're going to go first. Then we which are alive. He's talking about us again if you're still here. And remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. we're going to be with the Lord. We're going to see Him face to face. We already saw that in Revelation 21. We're going to fellowship with Him and serve Him. You know why we're going to serve Him? Because we chose to accept His Son. That's why we're going to serve Him. That's why we're going to serve Him, because we accepted His Son as our Savior. We became children of God. And really, now, if you really think about it, children of the resurrection. You need to be a child of the resurrection so you get in the right resurrection, the first resurrection. Look at verse 18. Now, let me give you, look at it. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Of all things, it ought to be a comfort to know you may never die, but you will be changed. In the twinkling of an eye, 1 Corinthians 15. The twinkling of an eye, you're going to be changed. Boom. Just like that. Just like that. I mean, faster than that. That is not a twinkling. That is slower than a twinkling. And I don't know when it's going to happen. I just know when you look at the world scene, what you see is after March of last year, all the way through, things have changed so fast and so dramatically that it sure seems like it's a whole lot closer than what it was. And let me tell you what, it is a lot closer. How do you know? Because it's later than what it was yesterday. Just by a fact, it's going to be closer. Tomorrow is closer than today, just by time. But I mean, when you look at things that are going on, you see that things are happening fast. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. You know what your last enemy that's going to be destroyed is? Death. 1 Corinthians 15:26. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. No more death. My mom and dad are still alive. I would love it if the Lord would come back before they had to go on. I'm in my 60s now. I wasn't supposed to live this long. It was like an aged thing. I mean, you're 60, you're one foot in the grave is what, it's just real old. Some of you are a lot older than that. And I'm like, wow. Yeah. Some of you a little younger. Bill. Oh, he was just clearing his throat. But I remember when I was young, I was like, I remember my mom was, what was she? 29 for like 5 years. I really thought she was 29. If you just don't pay attention as a kid, it's like, how old's your mom? 29. Because every birthday was 29 for a while. So she's 29. I'm telling you, when you're in your 20s or 30s and you're like, when you reach 30, you're like, wow. I remember my parents were really old when they were 30. I still feel like a kid sometimes. Even at 60, I feel like a kid. I hurt like an adult. Act like a kid. Especially when you get the babies around. Look at verse 39 for time's sake. Look at verse 39. All flesh is not the same flesh. But there's one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, the glory of the terrestrial is another. That's a whole other sermon, that you'll shine as lights. I believe this. I believe that you and I, depending on our rewards at the judgment seat of Christ, will determine how bright we shine for eternity. Daniel 12, he that winneth souls shall shine as the stars of the firmament. I mean, it's there. It's there. It's a deep message. I preach it as an evangelist in fear and trepidation, but I might be able to preach it like in three lessons here instead of trying to do it in one where it's like, like a deer in headlights. But it is a cool study. One of the things I'll tell you about is in the Chinese language, 4,500-year-old Chinese language. When you look at their component parts of a word, and you see naked, and then you see clothed, the difference in the two is there's no light on the word for naked. Whereas with clothed, there's light. 4,500 years ago, very close, much closer to Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve, 6,000 years ago. Their language had the gospel in it. Their language had the story, the whole story of Adam and Eve in those figures. And one of the things that was really neat was I studied the Bible and I saw all this on Daniel 12 and shining as the brightness of the firmament. And just like this, some of the glory of the moon, another the glory of the stars, one star different from another in glory. That's talking about us and how we'll be different in glory, how we will shine differently. And you look at that thing on the Chinese language and it confirms the whole thing. That their language had it built in that way. Look at verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, in the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. No more death. The last enemy is destroyed. I can't wait. Now, while I'm here, I need to be busy. You need to be busy. We have the truth. The truth is Jesus died for you. He was buried. He rose again. He paid your sin debt that you could not pay. So that you can be saved and all of this applies to you. But you have to understand. You can know everything you can know about the Bible. But if you don't have Jesus, you've missed everything. You've missed everything. So, well, let's go ahead. We're going to just have a word of prayer, and then we're going to have a closing song. So go ahead and just bow your head, close your eyes as we go offline. Lord, we do thank you for your many blessings. Just pray, Lord, that you guide, lead, and direct. Lord, we thank you for being such a gracious and merciful, loving, and God that, Lord, I am just amazed at how my life is different because of Thee. I pray, Lord, that You'll take the message today, apply it to hearts and lives.